Hello everyone and welcome to the Generic Live Show. This is the Generic Live Show episode number 6. Generic Live Show. Dale sounds like a Crunchyroll episode. Recorded Wednesday, August 2014. Crunchyroll. Around Australia and the world. Okay. Not much. That sounds generic. Yeah, I gotta keep up my game somehow. Yeah, do what you can, I guess. You do what you can with what you've got, and we're running a tad bit behind, so on that note, we are going to change folders and hope to heck that this works. I'm a bit nervous that it's actually not going to, but let's move on into the headlines. Wow, this is... Sorry guys, I'm really trying to push through this back-end technical disaster. I really am. So, to celebrate that fact, let's tell you about Twitch being all twitchy and scratchy. After 20% of their video on demand VOD content has been muted, Twitch CEO Emmett Shear apologized during a Reddit AMA, Ask Me Anything, during last Thursday for not warning users before the implementations of its new policies. Quote, "This is our bad and I'm glad we communicated the change of VOD storage policies in advance, giving us a chance to address the issues we missed, like 2-hour highlights for speedrunners, before the change went into effect. I am not glad how we failed on communicating the auto recognition change in advance, and we wished we'd posted about it before it went into effect. That way we could have gotten community feedback first, as we were doing, as we're doing now after the fact." And we will talk more in detail about Twitch and the music copyright battle later on in the program, later on in the itchy and scratchy show. The Twitchy and Scratchy show. Moving along, though, to used game sales, funnily enough. When trading in your old games at GameStop, this is American, mind you, you normally go down to your local GameStop and exchange them for some fiscal lubrication. And when these trade-in prices for games were first introduced, it was a pretty simple system. You took your game into the store, then you tell them how much you think it's worth, and then they tell you how much they think it's worth, and then you'd either accept or reject that offer. But then things got complicated. There was an option to have cash or credit in-store programs that saw the price increase, and the more credit offers was putting the money towards certain pre-orders or other offers. The next time you go to trade in a game at your local GameStop, you expect just 4 tiers of pricing rather than the 10 plus you had to choose from before. They're making it stupid. Maybe it's simple, stupid. That's what I was meant to say. The new system is as follows. Well, as far as it seems, GameStop will check how much your game is worth, but then the price is changed based on whether you want cash or credit for it, or whether you are a PowerUp Rewards Pro member or not. So here we go. For example, if your game is worth Oracle updates at your screen, then you will get $20 for that. Based on that $20 worth of Java updates that are completely useless, you'll expect to see four of the following prices. Cash, but not a Rewards Pro member, $16. So you get $16 for that $20 worth of game. Cash and a Rewards Pro member will get $18. Credit, but not a Rewards Pro member, you'll get $20, so the full 20. Credit and a Rewards Pro member, you'll get $22, excuse me. So, yeah, you'll get some money back being a Rewards Pro member of GameStop. I don't know when the audio delay is started or stopped, so I'm just going to keep talking and hope that it catches up to me. So I'm just going to keep talking and hope that it does catch up to me eventually. I'm so sorry about the technical errors in this episode. However, we do have transparent apples. About time. Apple has released a diversity report on the genders and races of its employees. As is common in the tech industry, the majority of Apple's workforce is male, with only 3 out of 10 employees around the globe being female. Broken down, males composed of 65% of non-tech workers, 80% of tech workers, and 72% of Apple's leadership. According to CEO Tim Cook, he is unhappy with Apple's diversity numbers and say that Apple is working to improve them. Quote, I don't know what the hell that's going to mean. Quote, Apple is committed to transparency, which is why we're publishing statistics about the race and gender makeup of our company. Let's say it up front. As CEO, I am not satisfied with the numbers on the page. They're not new to us, and we've been working hard for some quite time to improve them. And we're making progress. We are committed to being as innovative and advancing diversity as we are developing our products. Tim Cook is also allegedly saying that transparent apples do not grow on trees. Google announced today they'll be implementing a new effort to thwart spammers and scammers. The open standard known as Unicode Consortium's high restricted specification. In short, Gmail now rejects emails from domains that use the Unicode community has identified as potentially misleading combinations of letters. The news today follows Google's announcement last week that Gmail has gained support of indented and or accented and non-latent characters, excuse me. The company is clearly okay with international domains as long as they aren't used to trick its users. Fair enough. Moving along now to American television. On average, Americans are paying more for television series than ever before, according to a New York Times report. 64.41 a month as of January 2014, according to the FCC. Though, if you add any premium channels, and a DVR to the max, that figure can increase twofold or more. Earlier this year, the FCC released reports stating that from 2012 to 2013, the average monthly price of basic cable jumped 5.1%, while the average price per channel increased by 2.1%. More cable networks are to blame, but programming costs have also jumped, according to Comcast executives, as stated in the New York Times report. Technically, you are paying more to get more, but you are paying to get a lot more garbage these days. Community Central. Oh, okay, never mind. And now you're paying $92.99 before internet taxes and equipment rental fee. Yeah. Jumping from 92 to from 64 to 92. Well, there's a lot of garbage. Here's an interesting story for you. There are a lot of accounts on Twitter that aren't actually being operated by their owner tapping away at the keyboard. Plenty of bots. Plenty are selling cheap Viagra, allegedly. We don't actually have proof. Twitter isn't entirely sure how many of its users are either fake or scamming or run by a computer, but it seems like the number is somewhere around the 23 million mark. Ooh, funny you mention that. What country in the world has around 23 million people in it? Ooh, I'll give you one guess. That is right, Australia. In a recent filing to the SEC, rather, Twitter said that 8.5% of its 261 million monthly active users are something other than human. We don't mean that in the internet trolley way. That is, they contact Twitter's service for regular updates with no disconcernable user action involved. That filing, according to the Quartz, intended to clarify a previous point that suggested almost double that percentage across Twitter's through the API rather than the official apps or website interface. So, basically, many of the bots that make up Twitter also make up the majority of Australian population. So have fun with that. And lastly, meet rock climber Alex Honnold. After scaling mountains and rock walls as high as 450 meters in nature, Rockwall has finally decided that with great power comes great responsibility. He's taking his talents to the city of San Francisco. Yeah, you know, I don't know much about San Francisco, but I do know that scaling walls up San Francisco isn't a good idea. And that is a look at the headlines. Apologies about that. I start the microphone again to try and eliminate some of this lag. Hey, if you want to help minimize the lag, then you can help us out by visiting our Patreon page so we can do some major upgrades to our stuff. Because we need it, really. That's all it comes down to, is that we kind of need it. It is patreon.com/geek.io. patreon.com/geek.io. Give a little, give a lot, and we have different rewards that you can give. And yeah, it's great. If you don't want to give to a Patreon per se, if you don't want a monthly commitment, I don't know why you wouldn't. But you can give to what hurts to Tweaked Audio, tweakedaudio.com. 7 stars, 7 colors, both great with music and talk. And yeah, geek at checkout for 33% off. Okay, now let's get into Twitchy, Twitchy, Twitch. Like I said in the headline, Twitch has started to block, well, started to mute music particularly that could be seen as copyright infringing. So, I want to read the rest of this. I want to read the rest of this article because I believe it does kind of sum up things quite nicely and kind of leads into a bit of a, not an argument, but kind of more of a discussion point, funnily enough, if it actually wants to work. Thanks, computer. You are being a real butt today. So, let's go with advances of the feedback, blah, blah, blah. What? Okay. However, during the implementations, VODs, video on demand, have been wrongly flagged for audio recognition system, a flaw recognized in the company's later inclusion of the appeal button. You can now appeal the video if it has been flagged for copyright use. Appeals, however, must be compliant with provisions of the Digital Millennium Copyright and Twitch's Terms of Service. So dig those back up and look at them until it hurts. Controversially, copyright owners whose content used without authorization or VODs or live broadcast must submit a notification to the same provisions. Live broadcast will be only muted when they're archived. Twitch does recognize that it isn't a perfect system. Ars Technica reported that high-profile events such as Valve's Dota 2 tournament, the International 4, and Twitch Weekly, well, its own gaming show, have also been muted. Music with games specifically for it, as well as games licensed commercially available songs, are also affected by the policy change. She mentioned that International 4 was a prominent mistake. The company's spun off of 20, Justin TV, which has recently shut down as well, which I really want to talk on that. Because this has been covered in tech circles already, but I want to mention that Justin TV being shut down is interesting because Justin TV was one of those services that kind of was a weird kind of spin-off from, I'm sorry, Twitch was a spin-off of Justin TV, but Justin TV became one of the weird things that no one used because no longer being marketed per se, whereas Twitch was being marketed to our throats and back. But I think it's fascinating as well that a company that can suddenly drop a product like they did with Twitter, like they did with Justin TV. Okay, full disclaimer, I used to use Justin TV for Chef on the podcast stuff back way back when, but before this was even Chef Wonder, just for vlogs and that sort of thing. They're all gone, but it's interesting that Justin TV could have still existed, and I know they're priming themselves up to be acquired, and at the time they were planning on being acquired by Google, who, yes, did have this YouTube. Who does have this YouTube service? I don't know if you've heard of it at all. Which is a direct competitor in any way to Google Hangouts. At least you can kind of draw that conclusion if you really want to. Both of them are a public service where you can kind of use and you can use them and move broadcast between the two. So yeah, got that going for you. But I think Justin TV should have stayed around because now under if no acquisition happens with any company, I'm confirming that Google stuff. I think that it's hard to say because all of this leads into yes, they're being acquired, them shutting down Justin TV. Mind you, Justin TV's numbers were sinking into the ground, but I think that it still were a thing that kind of could survive on its legs, I guess. There was still a market there, I guess, but they've, like I said before, they dropped all of the marketing, they dropped all of that stuff, so there's not much you can kind of do with that. Now, coming full circle as to what we're talking about today, is that Google and YouTube are notorious for this type of action. They really are, but I want to say that having a automatic let's search your videos. Mute them in 30-minute blocks. If they are copyrighted, that's an argument in of itself. We don't have all night to talk about that. Because we can talk about copyright and just the DRM, digital writes Millennium Act of bullshit. Apologies about that. We deserve to have that until the cows come home. That's not the point here. The point is, actually, that is kind of the point. I will recommend actually an audiobook that I love. It's called The Future of Music. Digital Revolution. I want the of music. Let's see. The Future of Music. Manifesto for the Digital Music Revolution. They talk a lot about the DRM, and that sort of thing in there. So if you do want to form an argument on the DRM side, go gung ho on that book. That's a book I strongly recommend. This is not Tuesday night, Wednesday night book club, but I'm just saying, if you want to scratch up on DRM, that's your place to do it. That aside, there are mistakes that are made in DRM. Net, well, I don't want to necessarily say naturally, but I just think that you kind of set yourself a kind of one of the bad fails when you introduce this new dog barking background noise. When you set up this auto detection system, it scans through 50 million videos. It's just looking. Say, for example, I know it's on 50 million videos, but say, for example, it's a lot of videos. It scans through those videos. It detects music. Right? For example, the auto system doesn't know that the auto system, and this is the same problem with YouTube, that system doesn't know that it's in-game music, ambient music, music that you own. You can't tell that. It is just an auto detection system. Them adding an appeal button and making that process more, I don't want to say YouTube, but YouTube style, at least, in the very least. But it's definitely one of those things of they're setting themselves up on the prospect that they could be acquired. They need to tidy up a little bit. The DRM argument, like I said, we can go to town on that. I will touch on that really quickly though, and say, if it is ambient music, and our theme, okay, let's start there. It is. What they classify as pod safe, so it can be played for public use. Just so happens that it is the Cantina Band, and just so happens that it is awesome. But we have the rights to play that publicly, as it is open source and all the rest of it. If I was to play my cover, Dale Campbell's cover of Fucking Miley Cyrus's Wrecking Ball. And YouTube scanned this video and found, or Twitch, I'm not even broadcasting on Twitch, but if YouTube found the video and said, Dale's playing Miley Cyrus's Wrecking Ball. It's his own version of Miley Cyrus's Wrecking Ball, but he has, assuming he paid the rights to cover artists, he has the right to play his own, because on his shows, if I was to play straight out Miley Cyrus's Wrecking Ball without any of the Cyrus's permission, then yes, that would be a bit of hokum pokum. I assume I don't have the rights. Now, this order system doesn't know I don't have the rights, so they're going, "Yoink, we're going to pull that because we don't know that if you don't have the rights or not. We don't know that. We're just gonna pull it anyway." That's where it starts getting twitchy, scratchy. Sure. That's where it comes back to transparency too. I brought up that word for a reason in the headlines. It's not, suddenly transparency doesn't grow on trees. I think Twitch is being open with their community. And here is one example where they're not, and it has backfired on them. It really has. And we need to kind of take for the fact that now there is an appeal button. Yes, we can appeal these copyright things, or copyright claims, I should say, technically. But them happening in the first place, no, but it's not a big deal. The big deal is whether you have the right to play that music. And the Justin TV thing is a bit weird compared to that. It's a bit weird because that suddenly just went, I don't know why, but obviously it's a bit of business decision. Obviously, I'll leave it up to them. That is what it is. Resetting the microphone so Lag can catch up. Woo! All right. No, thank you everyone for putting up with this. I don't know what's going on tonight. I need to investigate in that. This is a sad note. My heart's gone out to the close friends and family of Robin. Robin. Yeah. Robin Williams, yeah, and his family, who are going through such a tough time right now. A recent death this week. That's an Hearts and condolences go to that. It wouldn't be a show if I failed to mention that. Where you can find us, you can find we are on the Geek IO and ChefWonder Podcast Networks. If you haven't figured that out yet, I should say that earlier. ChefWonder.squarespace.com/GLS, geek-io.com/GLS, gplus.to/genericlow, YouTube, where you can watch this video on awful bad time delay, youtube.com/genericliveshow, and Patreon again is patreon.com/geek-io. Thank you, everyone, and we'll see you all next week. And have fun, but not too much fun now. Bye-bye.
Listening to a proud member of the Chef Wonder Podcast Network. To find out more about this and other shows, visit chefwonder.squarespace.com. Hope you like 2014.
Geek.io Podcast Network.
Loud noises!
Visit us at geek-io.com for all of our great shows.
The pressure is building slowly, inexorably inside me. Oh my.
Just because you don't understand it doesn't mean it's bad for you. Go figure out how it works.
Geek.io. Copyright 2014.
I want to get out of here. I want to leave this place.